Allah, you will be victorious. It's very strange that most of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah's sayings with regard to the revolution and the Islamic revolution and victory of Iranian nation in that revolution of 1979 runs around the power of God. For those who have been living in Iran and know the literature of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, they can easily prove me that Imam rahmatullah alayhi always was saying that whatever goodness is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you believe in the power of faith and religion, then nothing can stand in front of you. Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi, sallallahu alayhi. Actually, examining the history of the Islamic Revolution shows that the first slogan that Imam rahmatullah alayh raised and others followed was the issue of the revival of Islam. So he saw this power of faith and having the belief in the religion and faith as something that defeats all the power. Actually, in his literature, there is no defeat. You cannot interpret any defeat in his literature. He says, both ways are victory for us. Either we got martyred, even if in the beginning of this revolution, in case all the Muslims, in case all the Iranians and the whole nation, but got martyred, it was a victory in the culture and in the literature of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi. And in case they were victorious as they were, I mean, and they expelled the king of the country from the country. So it is, again, a kind of victory. So the reason that Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi focuses on the revival of Islam and revival of Islamic beliefs among the people is to make them familiar and is to tell them, to remind them that this is the power of faith, this is the power of religion that makes you get prosperous, that gives you this power to stand in front of the arrogant powers. And there is no power higher and above this power if you have this belief. I think those who have been following this series of sessions about the sayings of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, about the revolution, Islamic revolution, they will approve that in all of his sayings, he wants to attribute this victory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in his literature, there is no concept of defeat. Defeat has no base in his literature. And he says, whatever we did is victory, and whatever we gained was victory again. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
In the limelight. Anti-Muslim hate crimes primarily are aimed at provoking and hurting Muslim communities. In recent years, Western regimes not only refuse to criminalize Islamophobic acts, but also authorize them and provided protection. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote in this regard, the brazen desecration of Islamic sanctities in the name of freedom of expression and thought has been scandalously normalized in Western societies. More recently, We witnessed in Stockholm and The Hague this issue where the Nobel Quran was desecrated in broad daylight. And as always, Western countries not only remained mute spectators but became cheerleaders for it. On January 23rd, Edwin Weeksleeuw, a far-right Dutch politician and a provocateur and leader of the Islamophobic group Pegida, tore pages from the Quran in The Hague, the administrative capital of the Netherlands. 2 days earlier, in another provocative act, far-right politician Rasmus Paludan, a dual Swedish-Danish national known for his anti-Islam extremism, burned a copy of the Noble Quran outside the Turkish embassy in Stockholm under police protection and with permission from the authorities. A week later, Paludan repeated the act, setting ablaze a copy of the revered Islamic book outside a mosque in Denmark again under the police cover. Naturally, these acts triggered anger, outrage, and condemnation worldwide, in particular from Muslim-majority countries. Despite the legitimate demand for legal action against such provocations that hurt the sentiments of 1.4 billion Muslims across the world, Western regimes did nothing except for issuing face-saving statements. Their inaction and indifference came under the garb of the freedom of speech and expression, which gives them a license to brazenly insult and abuse Islam and Muslims and conveniently get away with it. Anti-Muslim hate crimes primarily are aimed at provoking and hurting Muslim communities. In recent cases, the Western regimes in question not only refused to criminalize these acts, but also authorized them and provided protection. Western media also kept mum except for reporting on reactions from the Muslim world. Their coverage was mainly focused on how this incident would potentially impact Sweden's ambitious bid for NATO membership. This indicates how Islamic religious values are compromised in rapidly secularizing Western societies. Interestingly, some Western countries have blasphemy legislations that are designed to protect religious beliefs and prevent violation of those beliefs. Blasphemy is defined as the act of speaking in a way that shows irreverence for God or sacred sanctities. In some European countries, it is a punishable crime. Punishment ranges from fines to prison sentences. However, in 2017, Denmark repealed its blasphemy law, and the last Swedish laws against blasphemy were annulled in the 70s. It was replaced by a new law called agitation against a specific group of people, which does not protect religions but their practitioners. The Netherlands, France, Greece, England, Wales, Iceland, Ireland, Norway, and Scotland are also among the countries that repealed the law. Some other European countries, like Germany, are also contemplating taking a similar step. In fact, even in countries where the law is enacted, it does not necessarily extend to all insults against religions and the desecration of the Noble Quran. Unfortunately, decriminalizing such hate crimes and continued disregard for insults against Islam and desecration of its sanctities, ostensibly to defend freedom of expression, is bound to result in Islamophobia and Islamophobia-linked crimes and even killings. In July 2021, the National Council of Canadian Muslims, NCCM, announced that Canada has seen more mass killings motivated by Islamophobia in the last 5 years than any other country in the group of seven G7. In January 2017, the Quebec City mosque shooting left 6 worshippers dead and 19 injured. It was one of the deadliest mass murders in Canadian history. In August 2022, a string of killings of Muslim men in New Mexico in the U.S. state of New Mexico sent shockwaves through Muslim communities across the country. By the same standard, cartoonists, editors, and publishers of the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo, who have made a habit of mocking Islamic figures and sanctities, should also be detained and put trial. But unfortunately, prejudice against Muslims has been essentially normalized, and Western double standards in this regard are only fueling the flames of Islamophobia.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, moderation in consumption and spending. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of moderation in consumption and spending in the Islamic lifestyle. Being a human, we must obviously consume a couple of things. We must spend the money or the energy or the things that we have. On the other hand, there are some consumptions that is necessary for our life. Because as a human beings, we consume things, we buy products, and we consume them. Therefore, being a customer, I will buy something to consume. On the other hand, I will spend my money. But Islam says that whatever you do, you must have the moderate way. And the reason is that we need to bring the Islamic economy or the Islamic society into an economic circle. And that circle can be done through spending the money, through consuming things, through offering the products. And everything should be in a moderate way. For example, those who do not spend money, who love to store money, and they do not consume things a lot, Islam says that, look, the money that you have, there is a part of the society in it. Therefore, it is necessary that you circulate this money into the society, and the society also benefits from it. Therefore, Islam has said that in order to circulate the money, to spend the money, it is necessary to perform it in the halal way, in the permissible places and not in the haram, because if we do things in the haram, if we spend the money in the haram things, then this is not been spent in the Islamic way, or it's not helping the Islamic society at all. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of moderation in consuming and spending. It is necessary to spend the money in a moderate way, and it should be according to the Sharia and according to the Aql, which is intellect. And we must avoid the exaggeration in spending. Sometimes we see that there are some people who have a lot of money, or maybe they get to a money, but they do not know how to spend it. And therefore, they exaggerate in spending. They buy unnecessary things. They spend the money in unnecessary activities. And therefore, they consume maybe unnecessary things, which is not a need. Therefore, it is necessary to have a control and to know what is necessary and what is not. Therefore, even in consumption, we must consume things in a moderate way and should not exaggerate in consuming things. Therefore, when we talk about the person and the factor of the person, like in person, individual, or if we talk about the society in both ways, in the individual as an individual look or as a society look, all the Muslims should have a moderate way and they should avoid the exaggeration in consuming and spending. And that's why when we look at the Islamic economics, it says that we should not create the need of something in the market. Whereas the actual need which exists in the market, we must produce according to that. Whereas in the material world, they produce the products first, then they advertise it, and after that, they make a fake need of product in the society. And everyone starts to think that, oh, I need this. And after that, they go and they buy the things, which is the extravagance, which is israf, which is, you know, which is not the moderate way. The things that we do not need, we should not go after that. Therefore, you need to avoid the sickness of following a specific brand where top to bottom people likes to buy or wear a brand. Whereas if something which is not branded can be in a good quality, can be bought, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Once every 100,000 years, gold is created from the collision of neutron stars. Mysterious gold instantly melted into humanity's desire, contained the magic which enabled civilizations to flourish and fueled the desire that made people venture across oceans. But why do we lust after gold? And does humanity own gold, or does gold own humanity? I'm Daniel Arya, and this is Aperture. For centuries, gold was the economic index which dominated the world before it lost to the dollar. But the 2008 financial meltdown has brought gold back from oblivion. Gold is now dominating the world once again, but why is it gold again? In 2008, gold woke up from its deep, dark sleep. As the dollar became unstable during the U.S. financial crisis, people rushed to gold. And in August of 2011, the twisted destiny recurred. The new gold rush started again. Pursuit has begun once again, and stay with us as we take a look into the history of gold from its glittering past to its sudden return.
gold.
Such as gold.
金貝.
金貝.
Gold.
Gold.
With gold.
Gold.
金貝.
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 Into gold.
Sold gold.
Gold.
Gold price.
Gold mines.
Gold is undervalued.
Currency, which reflects human instincts, is very much alive. Money gained humanity's passionate desire since its creation. Money was at the center of wars and economies. Its origin can be traced back to Mesopotamia. Thousands of years ago, Sumerians were the first ever to develop trade. Since then, many types of currency have appeared in history. Trading goods for goods appeared first. Grains, essential for everyone, were used as currency in many areas. As time passed, smaller objects were used for trading to facilitate easier transportation and exchange. Various metals became the new currency, as they were easily transportable and did not rot. But not all metals were permanently stable. In the end, gold, whose value was accepted consistently as a stable metal, became the best currency. Gold, which is evaluated by its weight and purity, has no exchange rate or nationality. Due to its high value, large trades were made possible with just small amounts of gold. It was the best currency that was accepted everywhere. In 700 BC, the Kingdom of Lydia, which ruled Turkey, became the birthplace of the best invention in the history of currency. The capital of the kingdom was Sardis. It was the hub of the East and West, and as trading became important, the need for currency grew. Lydia dominated Asia Minor. It expanded its boundaries as the ancient empire, securing the trade route linking an area of over 2,700 kilometers. Lydia invented the world's first gold coins, using their abundant resources of gold, and built an affluent kingdom.
And this started with King Croesus of Lydia, which is a very famous name, and he really produced the first gold coins and used it particularly to pay soldiers and military people.
In the early 7th century BC, Lydians minted the world's first coins. Gold coins, which feature a lion's head, the symbol of Lydia, became the kingdom's representative export goods. As the world's first gold coins and the world's first empire currency, Lydia's coins spread through Asia Minor and Greece. They became a necessity for trade in the Mediterranean. Goods, art, people, and knowledge gathered in Lydia, and humanity's first retail businesses began. With a single shiny gold coin, people were able to buy horses or delicious food. It also reduced shopping time. A new world had opened up for humanity. But if the Lydians were the first to invent coins, the Greeks were the first to turn coin making into an art form. Each city imprinted its own unique symbols. They were the symbols of national strength. Greek coins circulated the Mediterranean through marine commerce. Gold coins brought revolutionary developments in commerce and became the foundation of civilizations. Education also developed quickly along with the coins. Years after the birth of gold coins, the currency revolution moved to Rome. Coins featuring the emperor's face, as well as other royalty, were widely used among laymen. As the territory of the Roman Empire expanded, the amount of gold attained through looting and mining grew exponentially. Consequently, the Romans issued more gold coins, and these coins strengthened the empire. Gold coins were what built the Roman Empire. In 395 AD, after the Roman Empire divided into two, Western Rome collapsed within the next 100 years. However, the surviving Eastern Rome continued to write history for another 1,000 years. Constantine the Great moved Rome's capital to Byzantium and founded the Byzantine Empire. Constantine the Great, who reunited Rome, declared freedom from religion and chose Sunday as a day of rest. He also issued a new gold coin called solidus. This is Byzant, the best currency. The Byzant, with a 98% purity, weighed 4.5 grams. The Byzant was the basic currency of the Middle Ages that everyone could trust and use. It was the longest surviving currency in history.
Really ran from about 500. Well, really 300 AD, but 500 AD in Istanbul itself, and lasted for almost 1,000 years, really with the weight and the purity of it unchanged. There were some years when it was a problem, but it did last almost for 1,000 years, the Byzantine solidus. It was a thousand year coin, if you like.
The Byzant was the revenue source to maintain a large army and the means of controlling the empire. That is why the Byzant is called the dollar of the Middle Ages. The dollar of the Middle Ages surpasses today's dollar in terms of stability and value. While today's dollar faced a crisis within 100 years, the Byzant survived for 1,000 years. The Byzant was the partner that supported the kingdom for 1,000 years. The value of gold transcends time and space and gives faith to people. But there was a critical weakness even to gold, the best currency. There is a limit to the production of gold, and there are three ways to overcome the limit. One was to endure the lack of currency, and the other was to bring in gold from other regions through trade and loot. The last method was currency degradation, by making more coins with the same amount of gold. People began to deceive others by making new coins using clipped edges of existing coins.
And up until 1696, coins were struck onto a rough blank. So you used to be able to, if you're a very unscrupulous silversmith, you could clip the edges and get free silver. And so there were many laws that were passed to try and stop this. And in 1696, what they did was that they made sure that all the coins were circular with a milled edge. So that stopped the practice of coin clipping.
This is the origin of how the coin edges look today. Clipping of coin edges brought many problems. The value of currency fell, and prices began to inflate. New coins had to be issued to win people's trust. Sir Isaac Newton stepped up to solve all these problems.
And one of his big responsibilities was to prevent forgery. So one of the ways he did that was by making sure that all the coins had a milled edge around them, because if the edge is milled with little grooves, it's impossible to clip off a little bit of the coin.
The grooves on the coins that Newton made are used on today's coins as well. The grooves mark the human greed for gold. Gold, however, was never used as the main currency in the East. As the value of gold developed the currency system in the West, brass coins backed by the government played a similar role in the East. Whether it be gold or a brass coin, if the receiver had trust in it, that was enough. People had faith in the government. The first coins in the East were made during the Jin Dynasty. They believed the sky was round and the land was square. So they made a round coin with a square hole in the middle. This shape became the basic shape of Eastern coins for 2,000 years. The trust of currency gave birth to the world's first paper money in China. Gyoza, issued in Buxong in 1023, was the first paper money. When Emperor Kublai Khan of the Yuan Dynasty mass-produced bozhuo and circulated them through Eurasia, the era of paper currency began. Paper money was made of paper, but it ceased to be just ordinary paper. Kublai Khan is described as an alchemist in the travels of Marco Polo. Paper currency was like magic to the Westerners, who were using gold coins. During the Yuan Dynasty, the government forcefully retained gold, silver, and copper, and with its guarantee, paper money was issued. With the circulation of paper money, less money was spent on producing coins, which led to a better financial status of the government, and thus led to a more active commerce. Replacing the gold with paper money opened up a new golden era in the East. At the end of the 15th century, gold had cast a spell on people and made them cross the oceans, risking their lives. But the lives of Europeans were also shaken up by gold. At the time, the population, which had been devastated by the plague, was bouncing back. Price of commodities was also increasing. Moreover, as gold and silver from the New World poured into Europe, prices soared uncontrollably. The price revolution of the 16th century began. Treasure from the New World created a large gap between the rich and the poor.
And this is at a time when that is much more than a week's earnings in the late. It's more like 2 weeks' earnings. So it is a lot of time to earn the smallest coin. And therefore, ordinary people do not have gold coins. It is something for the rich to have.
Prices quadrupled and sextupled. First, landowners who received a consistent amount of rent went bankrupt. Farmers who didn't have money to rent land became wage laborers. On the other hand, the royal families and noblemen enjoyed an unprecedented extravagance. Gold instantly spread throughout European countries, and in its wake, only collapsed industries and financial crisis remained. Such was the curse of gold. The price revolution continued on for over 100 years without any resolution. It was the longest inflation in history. When commerce expanded and capitalism developed, a barter economy emerged. A system of an exchange of promissory notes for foreign currency began. 48 types of gold coins used in Europe in the 16th century were all exchangeable. Thus, financial innovation was propelled by the power of gold. In the early 19th century, gold faced a new era. Money was dependent upon the value of gold. A system of gold and money exchange emerged. Since then, history repeatedly introduced and discarded the gold standard. In 1819, England pegged the value of pounds to gold and circulated paper money that could be exchanged for gold at any time. By 1870, most countries had adopted the gold standard, and the pound, which could be exchanged for gold, became the key currency around the world.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International School. Here today we have some of the students of Sevier International School again, Brother Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Salaamu alaikum, brothers, how are you?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Fine, Hassan? Hussein?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, alhamdulillah. Ali Nasir, Fawad? Are you
Salaam,
all right?
Alhamdulillah.
Salaam alaikum. Welcome, brothers. Today, inshallah, the same as our last session, our previous sessions, we'll work on two of the verses of Surah Ali Imran, verses ayah number 4 and ayah number 5 of Surah Ali Imran. Brothers and sisters, as you're listening to IRIB English Radio, please open your Quran Kareem, turn to page 50. Ayah 4 and 5 of Surah Ali Imran, right? Surah Ali Imran. So, we'll have a listening. We'll listen to the recitation once, then we'll continue reciting and practicing the Tajweed rules. Let's listen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Min qablu hudan lin-nas wa anzala al-Furqan. إن الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد والله عزيز ذو انتقام إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء.
Great recitation. I will read once. Guys, you should repeat after me. Our brothers and sisters as well will practice, okay?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
من قبل هدى للناس وأنزل الفرقان.
من قبل هدى للناس وأنزل الفرقان.
الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد.
إن الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد.
والله عزيز ذو انتقام.
والله عزيز ذو انتقام
إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء
إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء
أحسن ثم ما شاء الله Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. Ayah 4 continues Ayah 3, okay? Allah Almighty says in Ayah 3, نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل من قبل هدى للناس وأنزل الفرقان. Furqan is another name for Quran Kareem. Okay? Furqan. Which means Quran just brings a distinction between wrong and right.
Yeah.
The true and false. Okay? So that's the name, another name for Quran Kareem, which means criterion. Allah Almighty says, وَأَنزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنجِيلَ And he had sent down the Torah, the book of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and the Evangel, the Bible, the book of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, before the Quran. For what? As the guidance for mankind. Okay? And he has sent down the criterion, which means Al-Quran al-Kareem. Okay? Then, indeed, those who defy the signs of Allah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا These people, okay? There is a severe punishment for them. Those who defy or refuse or reject the signs of Allah Almighty. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ Be careful, okay? One of the beliefs is this. Which is a wrong belief that a lot of people believe that Allah Almighty is kind. Okay, we make sins, no problem. I don't do my prayers. Allah Almighty is kind. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He's so kind. Forgive everybody. We'll go to heaven, inshallah. They stay firm on this belief, which is a wrong belief. If Allah Almighty is Rahman Ar Rahim, He is Azizun Dhuntiqam as well. Okay, He will take revenge. He is Avenger. Alright? Take revenge of what? He says, Allah Almighty says, okay, I just, guidance was there for you. If you didn't accept, that was your problem. I had given you wisdom, I had given you reasoning, aql. Come on. Now I'll ask you, okay? Got it?
Yes.
So, in Dua al-Iftitah, I think, in the month of Ramadan, we recite it. وَأَيْقَنْتُ أَنَّكَ أَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ فِي مَوْضِعِ الْعَفُوِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ وَأَشَدُّ الْمُعَاقِبِينَ You are the avenger. So شديد. Okay? So hard one. وَأَشَدُّ الْمُعَاقِبِينَ فِي مَوْضِعِ النَّكَالِ وَالنَّقِمَةِ Okay? So Allah Almighty, at the same time, He's the very avenger, okay? He's the almighty. At the same time, He's kind. Okay? So you know how to deal with this. Yes? He's just and fair. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ If you think like, if you go to a very hidden place, okay, somewhere which is dark, if you, for example, you tell a lie somewhere, people might not see you, okay, you're not honest with yourself, you commit a sin, don't think this way that Allah does not see it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ Okay? Allah Almighty is the all-seeing. He sees everything. Nothing is indeed hidden from Allah in the earth or in the sky. This is our belief, okay? This is As-Sami' al-Basir. These are the attributes of Allah Almighty. With Tawheed, we should believe in them. Tawheed in Sifat, right? Guys, this was a short explanation. I hope you refer to the Tafasir book, like Tafsir al-Namuna, Tafsir al-Mizan, Majma' al-Bayan, like the rest of the Tafasir, okay? Refer to them, inshallah, and learn more about these verses.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran?
What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's recite the Quran.
Now we'll move on with the tajweed rules. Min qablu.
Qalqala.
Qalqala on the letter ba. But before qalqala, we have another one. Before, yeah. Ikhfa. Min qablu. Ikhfa with heavy letter, yes?
Yes.
Min qablu. As if it's clear that qaf is after it and it's a heavy letter. Min. Do you see that? Min qablu. And qaf is a heavy letter, produce a heavy sound. Qa, qa, qablu, min qablu, hudan linnas, hudan linnas.
Idgham.
Idgham. Hudan linnas. Linnas, nun mushaddad. Qunna sound. Hudan linnas. Wa anzala al-furqan. Ikhfa anzala. Hide the sound of noon. The rule ikhfa. You must review if you've forgotten. Furqan. Ra has a heavy sound. Fur. Then qaf has a heavy sound too. Furqan. Right?
Yes.
In the qila sign tells us
better to stop.
We have mentioned it a lot. Innal ladhina nun mushaddad. الذين كفروا بآيات الله. Make sure it's not بآيات الله. No. آيات الله. There is a baby I left on the top. آيات الله. Produce the sound of lam in the word Allah with a light sound. Lightly pronounce it. بآيات الله. لهم عذاب شديد. عذاب شديد. Tanween plus sheen. Do the ikhfa, but make sure, make sure your listener understands that the letter sheen comes after.
And qalqala.
Shadeed. Yes, qalqala. Lahum adhabun shadeed. Dot. It's a strong qalqala, actually. Shadeed. Yes?
Yeah.
Because you changed the tanween to sukun. Wallahu azizun. Wallah. Lam. Heavy sound.
Yeah.
Wallahu azizun dhuntiqam.
Ikhfa.
Azizun dhuntiqam. Both are ikhfa.
Both ikhfa.
Yeah, both. Two ikhfa we have.
Two ikhfa.
Tiqam. Qaf has a heavy sound. Qam. Yes. Stretch the sound. Maddul arid.
Lissukun.
And the next ayah. Inna allaha. Allah, heavy sound.
Yes.
La yakhfa. Kha, kha. Heavy sound.
Yes.
Alayhi shay'un. Shay'un. Tanween.
Ikhfa. Hassan.
What rule is it?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. Shay'un fil ardi. Wala fis sama'. Right?
Yes.
Here. Fi al ard. We have yamad plus al ard. Hamzatul Wasl. You skip Hamzatul Wasl, right? Hussein?
Yes.
What do you
yes.
do next?
We will connect Noon to Lam.
Noon to Lam or Fa?
Oh, yeah. Dear. Yes.
Yeah, Fa to Lam. Fil Ardi. Yes? Fil Ard. No. Skip that mad as well. Fil Ard. Wala Fis Sama. That's all. The mat on sama and the word sama is wajib as well. Let me read one more time. Repeat after me, okay? With tajweed rules. Min qablu hudan linnasi wa anzala al-furqan.
Min qablu hudan linnasi wa anzala al-furqan.
Hudal, do not stay here, okay? Do not prolong it. Hudallin, lam, it's lam, not gunna. And anzal, hide this. Okay. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ
والله عزيز ذو انتقام
والله عزيز ذو انتقام
إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء
إن الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
By the way, Hassan, when you stop at the word في السماء Hamza, the harakat must be changed to sukun. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with IRB English Radio. Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir Fawad, thank you so much for being with us in this session. Brothers and sisters, we'll stay here with IRB English Radio, inshallah. In the coming sessions, we'll be again with you with Quranic sessions. Thanks to IRB English Radio. Thanks to Sevilla International School. That's all from us for today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.